My name is Michael Sieber, and I am the executive pastor of Ministries, and we are doing a little bit of a pulpit swap going on today. So Lewis is actually preaching down in at the old Jacksonville campus, and we've been in a five-week series on discipleship, and Lewis is also covering for Doug, who Doug's wife Vicky, our senior pastor, her brother-in-law passed away suddenly. So if you could be praying for them, they've just driven to North Carolina to be with that family, and so we can be praying for them. Very important order of business. Do we have any wordlers in here? Any wordlers? Okay, if you don't know what Wordle is, look it up. Google it. It's a thing now, and I did my Wordle today, fourth try, so fourth line, and so I feel good about that. I would have liked to get it in three, but I was close. But anyway, I want to make sure you know that I'm not going to spoil the Wordle for you. I know some of you are a little anxious about that. I'm not going to spoil it for you, so just rest easy. And you're all like, what is Wordle? It's a thing. It really is a thing. Just Google it. All right, let me pray for us. God, I pray for our time that you would speak through me, that I would be an empty vessel, that you would speak to us, God, and help us know more about who you are, that we might become more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've got a weighty question to start off our time together. What is your purpose on earth? What is your purpose on earth? What is the meaning of life? Why were you born? These are common questions that we don't ask every day, but we have at some point, I would think, asked this question. What is our purpose? And in our hearts and minds, what do we long for? What is our purpose and what do we long for? That is my objective for this sermon, to answer the question, what is our purpose and how should we fulfill our purpose? We're going to be looking at Matthew 22 and Luke 14 will be our text. Well, it's been said that you can tell what is important to a person by looking at how they spend their time and money, right? And trying to answer such a big, important question, where should we look? What is the first place we should look to answer important questions about the meaning of life? Well, let's start with Google, of course. We need to start with Google. We're all looking for answers. And in 2021, here are the top Google searches when you combine for the whole year of 2021. Top Google searches, NBA, DMX, Gabby Petito, Kyle Rittenhouse. Millions of people looked for these things. I don't even know some of these names on here. Interesting. Why is it true that more people want to know about Gabby Petito or Squid Game than Jesus or discipleship? Well, the average American spends 7 hours a day looking at a screen. Think of that. 7 hours a day looking at a screen. Basically 3 hours watching TV and 4 hours on our phone. The average American, we pick up our phone 58 times a day. For me, I think it's a couple hundred if I'm honest. When we do the math, we will spend an average of 70 days worth of time on our phones this year, if we look at an entire year. To put this in perspective, with the amount of time we spend on our phones, we could watch every episode of Law & Order, Grey's Anatomy, The Simpsons, Criminal Minds, The Walking Dead, Friends, The Office, Seinfeld, every movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, all the extended Lord of the Rings and Hobbit movies, and still have 10 hours left to do as we please. It's a lot of time, a lot of screen time. By contrast, only 10% of Americans even pick up the Bible in a given week. And when we do pick up the Bible, it's only for about 15 minutes. These statistics would suggest we're looking for meaning and purpose, not from God, but from our phones. We're spending more time with our phone than we are with people we love, and certainly more than we're spending with God. Jim Rohn said, "You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with." I wonder if two or three of those people are our phones. Well, we've looked at time, and it's pretty telling. That was a joke, by the way. What about money? If we were to diagnose what is important to us or what our purpose is by looking at how we spend our money, probably wouldn't be Jesus or discipleship. Americans spend $425 billion a year on entertainment. That's about $3,200 per household. Of that, $72 billion or $600 a household on our pets, $21 billion on Netflix, and $3.3 billion on Halloween costumes. And really, this is the most shocking one of all. Americans spend $500 million a year on pet costumes. Okay, if you need any ideas, here's a couple for your pet for this Halloween coming up. Compare that to church giving of $50 billion. Only about 5% of Americans give to their church. And the average church donation per year is $900. We're spending way more money on Netflix than we are on things of God. Where we spend our time and money is a strong indicator of what is important to us. But even more concerning is that the way we spend our time and money is actually what shapes us, what shapes our heart, our mind. I wonder if we have our priorities in order. I wonder who is discipling us. Maybe our phones are discipling us. Well, we've looked at Google for the answers. Now let's look at the Bible. Matthew 22, starting in verse 37, if you want to turn with me, or we should have it on the screen. And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Well, there you have it, folks. We can just stop the sermon right now. I know some of you would like that and get to lunch early. God doesn't mince words, does he? Our purpose in life is to love God with our whole life, our whole lives, and to love our neighbors. Slightly different than what Google might say, right? The definition of the word disciple is to follow and learn from someone. Therefore, to be a disciple of Jesus is to love and follow Jesus and to learn how to be more like him. This is our purpose. This is the meaning of life. You see, everyone is a disciple of something or someone. You're all disciples. The question is, who or what is discipling us? You see, we were born to walk in relationship with God, to learn all about him, to love him, to follow him, to know his ways, to become like him in practice and in character. We were born to be a disciple. This is our purpose. An interesting observation is that you don't need to teach an animal what their purpose is. They're actually born instinctually knowing what to do. They may need help from their mom or dad to show them how to do something, but they know what to do instinctually. For example, a baby eagle is born knowing that their job is to fly and soar and swoop down and eat fish and all those things. Eagles' eyesight is 8 times better than humans. They can see ultraviolet spectrum, and they can see fish underwater from 300 feet in the air. It's amazing. Eagles are born to fly. You don't see a lot of eagles walking around. You don't see a lot of eagles swimming around. They're born to fly. Just like eagles, we were born with a God-given purpose to know and to love God. That's how we were born. We were designed before the foundation of the world and then in our mother's womb to pursue God and to live and move and have our being in him, to find our contentment, our joy, our peace in God. But due to the fall of Adam and Eve, it no longer comes naturally to us. Our sin nature draws us to pursue ourself. The enemy continues to tell us a lie and sell us a lie that he first told Adam and Eve in the garden. He said, "You don't need God." He said, "God doesn't care about you. You can have a better life, a better way without God." He said, "You are better than God. The world is better than God. Pursue yourself and the world, and you will be happy and content." This is the great lie, and we have believed it hook, line, and sinker, haven't we? The world continues, and Satan continues to tell us that we don't need God, that we can find our pleasure, our contentment, our joy in the things of this world. Every day we spend 7 hours trying to escape from reality, trying to find happiness and fulfillment on a 2x4-inch screen instead of finding our fulfillment in Jesus. We lose ourselves in 5 seasons of The Crown or Downton Abbey, not bad shows, instead of losing ourselves in the loving arms of our Heavenly Father. We spend hours getting to know Marvel characters like Hawkeye and Black Widow, or maybe our favorite YouTuber like Mr. Beast or Dude Perfect, instead of pouring ourselves into the character qualities of Jesus, Paul, Daniel, and Ruth. I can go on, but I think you get the point. You see, where we spend our time is not only an indicator of what's important to us, where we spend our time or who we spend our time with is the very thing that is discipling us. You are the most intricate, beautifully made thing that God has ever created. You are much more majestic than the bald eagle. You're more graceful than the dolphin, more regal than the lion. You were made with a purpose to know and love God. But many of us, maybe even most of us, are squandering hours or days or even months of our life away staring at a screen and believing the lie that that will be enough. My friend, you were made with a purpose. Do you have it yet? To love God, to know and follow Jesus. And if we will do that, I promise you will receive more contentment, more fulfillment than we ever have. So how do we fulfill this purpose? We know what our purpose is. How do we fulfill it? Well, we fulfill it by becoming a disciple. As was said before, a disciple of Jesus is simply following him and becoming like him. But even though becoming a disciple is simple, it is not easy. In fact, Jesus says that to become a disciple will cost us our very lives. It won't likely cost us our physical life in a literal sense. Jesus already died on the cross for us, but it will cost us something. Let's unpack this in Luke 14, if you want to turn with me. Luke 14, verse 25. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." To become a true disciple, Jesus lays out 3 requirements, and I think they're pretty weighty. Sometimes we read that and we don't realize the weight of what Jesus is calling us to be. He says, first, a true disciple must be willing to forsake their own family and friends, their loved ones. Ouch, that really hurts. We all love our family. Well, most of our family, maybe not Uncle Ned. Just kidding. But seriously, what does God mean when he calls us to be willing to forsake our own family? Does he want us to stop loving our family? No, of course not. He's using this as a word picture to say that we, if we want to be a disciple, we need to be willing, if he calls us to put Jesus above even our own family. What does that look like for us? Well, it may look like skipping one of your child's soccer games. I know that's hard. It may look like canceling your family beach vacation so you can tell others about Jesus on a family mission trip. I don't know what that looks like for you. Only God knows that. But rest assured that Jesus would not ask you to do anything that he hasn't already done or wouldn't already do himself. Secondly, a disciple of Jesus must be willing to lay down his own life, his own self-interest. This means laying down our preferences, our comforts. Oh, this is a tough one for me. Our entertainment, our selfish desires, our pleasure in this world, and anything else that may conflict with the interest of the kingdom of God. The good news is that when we choose Jesus daily over the things of the world, he will not only bring us true comfort and true contentment and joy in this world, but we will store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Amen. Have you ever heard of the missionary Eric Little? Eric grew up in China, actually. He was Scottish, but grew up as a son of missionary parents in China. But Eric was also a gifted runner, a gifted athlete. In fact, he qualified for the 1924 Olympics in three events, the 100 meter, the 200 meter, and the 400 meters. His best race was the 100 meter by far. In fact, he was expected to win the gold medal in the 100 meters. But the 100 meter race, actually the finals, was on a Sunday. And Eric chose to give up any current glory on earth for future glory and to honor God by choosing not to run on the Sabbath. So he didn't get to medal in the 100 meters. He actually won the 300 or won third place in the 200 meters, and he actually made the finals of the 400 meters, which was not his strong suit. In fact, he wasn't even supposed to place in the 400 meters, but he made the finals, and it turns out that this would become an amazing story that was made into a movie called Chariots of Fire that many of you have seen. We're going to watch a scene here where he's just about to run the 400-meter race.
Good luck, Taylor. Watch out for a little. Coach says no problem. He's got something to prove, something personal, something guys like Coach will never understand in a million years.
Jenny.
Says in the old book, he that honors me, I will honor. Good luck, Jackson Schultz.
Where does the power come from to see the race to its end? From within. God made me for a purpose. But he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure.
Eric said, God made me for a purpose, but God also made me fast. And when I run, I feel God's pleasure. Wow. What a beautiful picture of discipleship in the Christian life. God designed us for a relationship with him. And when we live into our purpose, when we lay our lives down to love him, to serve him, to lead others to know him, we will ultimately feel God's pleasure. We will feel God's pleasure when we know him. As a postscript, many of you have heard about this story, but you may not have heard is that after winning the gold medal, he went back to China as a missionary for 18 years and died serving Jesus in a Japanese concentration camp as Japan and China were at war. He died telling others about Jesus. But thankfully, we don't have to be beaten to death or put into a prison camp. Not likely here in America. But we may need to get a little uncomfortable. We may need to skip the next season of Mandalorian or Yellowstone so we can make time to lead or join a discipleship group. We may need to expand our supper club to include the unbelieving neighbors down the street so we can be a representation of Christ to them. Being a disciple of Jesus simply means that we defer our own self-interest for the sake of another. You better believe it will be hard. It's really hard, but it will also be worth it. Lastly, a disciple of Jesus must be willing to renounce or give up all that he has for the kingdom of God. In other words, we must be willing to give up our stuff, our finances, our very home, all of our physical resources if need be. About 5 years ago, my wife Jen and I heard clearly from God that I needed to quit my high-paying job, sell my dream house on several acres in Philadelphia, and move across the country to Seattle, take a 60% pay cut in order to answer the call for full-time ministry. I don't share this with you to brag or to draw attention to myself. I humbly share this with you because I can relate to sacrificing physical resources for the gospel. I can tell you that it has been extremely challenging for us. Some of our earthly dreams have been lost. Much of our retirement has been reduced. Many of our toys and vacations are no longer available. But I don't regret a moment of it because God has always provided enough for us to live and thrive. I'm not standing up here telling you that you need to quit your job today and go into vocational ministry, but I do believe that as a disciple, we need to be willing to do that if God calls us to do just that. I believe that God may be calling you to give sacrificially to a cause that expands the gospel but depletes your savings. God may be calling you to share what you already have to benefit the kingdom. Maybe it's opening your home for a discipleship group. Maybe it's donating a portion of your company's profits to a missions organization. Maybe it's just continuing to be faithful to give the first fruits of your labor to the church. Whatever it is, it's between you and God. I'm not here to tell you that or to guilt you into any of that. I would just encourage you to simply ask God, what is he calling you to do and to listen and obey? In conclusion, we learn today that we have a clearly defined purpose in life, to love God with our whole life. Another way to say this is to worship God with our whole life. Worship is one of our core values at Grace, and it's also a key characteristic of a disciple. Simply put, to worship is to obediently and joyfully give your heart more and more in obedience to Christ every day. We also learn that the way we are called to fulfill our purpose is to become a disciple of Jesus. A disciple of Jesus is on mission for the gospel. According to Luke 14, a disciple of Jesus must count the cost. We must be willing to put Jesus and the mission of the gospel ahead of those we love. We must joyfully lay down our own life, preferences, and self-interest. And we must be willing to give up all of our physical possessions if Jesus requires that of us. Jesus plainly stated, not once but three times, that if we cannot do these things, we cannot be his disciple. Anyone want to sign up to be a disciple today? Being a disciple means we will do anything and everything in our power to be on mission, to tell others about Jesus, where we live, work, and play. These are hard things. How do we do hard things? We do them together. We do them in community, in relationship with one another. Even God designed the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to be a triumvirate of community, of mutual relationships. Relationships are necessary for encouragement, for accountability. Community with one another provides an intentional space for us to spur one another on to worship and to mission and to love people where we work, live, and play. Will you count the costs with me? Will you decide today to fulfill your God-given purpose, to know and love God with your whole heart? At Grace, we believe the best way for you to become a disciple is to join a small group with fellow believers who will encourage you and keep you accountable to stay focused on the task. The pastors and elders have spent the last few months actually recruiting and assembling a bunch of new small groups. I was just out in the lobby. We have a table out there that says Live Out Your Mission. And we have over 15 brand new small groups available for you to join, where you can lock arms with one another to worship God and to be on mission together. We would encourage you after the service to go out there if you're not in a group and find out more about joining a group. Will you join me in living out your destiny to soar like an eagle? I pray that you will. And I will be praying for you and cheering you on as you soar over the sometimes calm but often turbulent waters of life. I will pray that God will give you supernatural eyes like the eagle to see the purpose he has for you just beneath the surface of the waters. I will pray that God will gently nudge you out of the nest so that you can fly higher than the clouds and gaze at a lost and broken world and have compassion on his people who don't know the maker of heaven and earth like you do. I will pray that God makes you his disciple. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. You are a good and gracious God. You love us even when we don't love you, even when we do find our fulfillment from this world. God, we pray that you would change our hearts, that you would draw us to you, that you would draw us to each other, to lock arms with each other and be on mission together. We pray that you would make us disciples, Father, that you would tell us what that looks like and what you want us to do, Father. We praise you. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.